be equal. Play time is over, man. Ain't nobody gonna hold your hand. Better be disciplined, cause we ain't gonna win if we don't even know the plan. See, we only as strong as the weakest link, so we all gotta go together.
Welcome back. We're Alfonso Gonzalez, a PhD student at UCLA with the political science department there. He's doing work on the war on terrorism and how that's being expanded on the war on gangs and the transnational war on gang throughout Central America and Mexico. He's also a member of the Human Rights Committee for Homie Unidos in a campaign called Libertad con Dignidad. And it's a campaign to stop La Mano Dura. Welcome to the show, Alfonso.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, Alfonso, you know, earlier in the show we had Kim McGill with the Youth Justice Coalition. We had another compañero, a researcher, who's doing research to try to stop the gangbuster legislation that's trying to be attempting to be passed in the federal level right now, which would basically make the local laws stretched out into, you know, sort of a national scope. We wanted to get your perspective in the way that, let's talk about what's the impact on immigrant youth when they get caught up both in gang injunctions and gang databases, and what will this mean to a lot of, you know, particularly Salvadoreño and Central American youth and Mexicano youth who get picked up by LAPD, and how does that sort of unfold in their lives and how that will impact them throughout their lives?
Yes, well, I think the most dangerous thing that's happening right now with the war on terror is the lines between, you know, the war on gangs and the war on immigrants has really been blurred, right? Both of these are unjust wars and involve unjust laws and policies and practices. But nonetheless, if you look at the legislation that's coming out, the anti-immigrant legislation that's coming out, and the language of this legislation, they often link, you know, gangs with immigrants and immigration with the threat of terror, right? So that what's happening is youth that, let's say, the 1980s would have been repressed unjustly so under, you know, something like Operation Hammer or in the 90s Prop 21 are being repressed by new legislation like H.R. 127, right, which is called the Gang Deterrence and Community Protections Act of 2005. And what that does is that creates a National Gang Intelligence Center. That intelligence center is ran by the Department of Homeland Security, FBI, CIA, pretty much all of the law enforcement agencies you can think of, from the Bureau of Tobacco and Firearms to local law enforcement. So what's happening is if you look at this legislation, they're conflating gangs, youth gangs, immigrants with terrorists, right? So unfortunately what that's resulting in is having youth be prosecuted under legislation that was supposed to be used for the war on terror. And what that basically means is that you have these incredible powers of a police state coming down on poor youth, right? So when a youth gets busted, let's say in Los Angeles, and he gets tried as a gang member under some of this new legislation, he's automatically set up for deportation, right? And the deportation proceedings are becoming a lot easier and quicker because of the war on terror, right? So that's where these things are really starting to connect. This particularly hurts Central American youth, and I'd say Mexican, but Central American youth a little bit more, because when these youth are being deported, they're being deported to countries where there already is a war on gangs, right? So in El Salvador, they have this thing called the Mano Dura, or Super Mano Dura, which is a law that basically has every, you know, mandatory minimums. You could become incarcerated just for having a tattoo. So the criteria for being a gang member is extremely vague in this case. Being groups of more than three, using any type of symbol to identify yourself or color to identify yourself. Remember, organizations use colors to identify themselves, right?
So the yellow brew, the yellow BRU would be good. And your tattoos, they probably stop us and stuff?
Oh, yeah. So if you have, let's say, you know, you're a youth who grew up here in Los Angeles in Southern California, mm-hmm. and you have some cultural tattoos, you have some Aztec tattoos or Mayan tattoos, you get deported, let's say you're not even a gang member, and you get deported to El Salvador or Honduras or Guatemala, they already have in their mind that you were a gang member, okay? And just by having a tattoo, you automatically get labeled one. So when you get labeled one, you get exposed to you know, you get prosecuted under things like the mano dura. In Guatemala, it's called Plan Escoba, and Honduras, it's called Zero Tolerance. So when you get incarcerated with this, you know, what's happening is, you know, in the case of El Salvador, about 85% of people who are incarcerated under mano dura are released within 74 hours because the Salvadoran judges know that the mano dura legislation is completely unjust and unconstitutional. But what's happening when these dudes get out of jail, they're being targeted by death squads. In the case of Honduras, since 1998, more than 2,700 youth have been killed by death squads. And, you know, you have people coming out of the National Civilian Police of Honduras, such as Marilisa Borcas, who used to be the commissioner of the Internal Affairs Unit, and she's telling the press and came out and testified in the Honduran Supreme Court that the Honduran National Civilian Police operates death squads throughout the entire country that target youth who are accused of being gangbangers. Mm. Okay, now, and if you look at this in the context of the new anti-immigrant, anti-gang legislation being put here in the U.S., the amount of youth who are going to be deported to Central America and Mexico is going to increase dramatically, right? And like I said, a lot of these youth are not gangbangers. We know cases of people who are deported, never been in a gang in their life, have a tattoo, and, you know, within 3 weeks of being in Guatemala or El Salvador, they're being killed by death squads. So this is a very dangerous development that we're seeing.
So, Alfonso, it seems like there's this policy of the U.S. actually deporting folks to countries of their ancestors' origin or their parents' origin or even their own origin. And then it seems like there would also be kind of a pressure or a threat that the U.S. actually places against governments, to say about El Salvador, Honduras, or whatnot, by saying, like, you're not doing enough about the drug problem, you're not doing enough about the gang problem. So is there also kind of a way that the U.S. government is actually trying to spin it to actually put more pressure on these governments?
Yes. If you look at the most recent legislation, for instance, on the – it's this bill coming up. It's the McCain and Kennedy bill, the Secure America, Secure Borders. I'm forgetting that the exact name. I have it right here in front of me. It's the name of the bill is Secure America and Orderly Immigration Act. Well, if Title 133, 134. If you look at the titles in the early 130s, they talk about border infrastructure development, right? And about, you know, beefing up the borders of Belize, of Guatemala, Mexico, in the southern part of the Mexican border, beefing that up precisely to go after immigrants and gangbangers, right? Well, you know, the rationale that they're using is that the U.S. is putting pressure on these countries, saying, well, the people who are crossing the borders are not just economic refugees, but these are gang members postulated to terrorists, right? So that rationalizes bringing all this, you know, the further militarization of the border. And if this bill goes through, it will result in the militarization of the southern border and the border of Guatemala and Belize. In addition to that, the U.S. SOUTHCOM, U.S. Southern Military Command, has just added the Mara Salvatrucha and 18th Street transnational gangs as major threats to the region. Okay, so it's when the U.S. military is starting to become part of the war on gangs, this is a very dangerous development. Remember, SOUTHCOM is the part of the U.S. military that's in charge for the entire Western Hemisphere. So, you know, there's other examples of the U.S., you know, putting pressure or using the gang pretext or the rationale of gangs for pursuing policies. For instance, USAID, the head of USAID, testified in the U.S. Congress just a few weeks ago, saying that, well, one of the reasons why we have to push through the Central American Free Trade Agreement is because CAFTA will create economic development, and if you create economic development, that's going to be what reduces the amount of gang violence and gangs in the region. When in reality, if CAFTA goes through, more than likely it's going to create more poverty, more social dislocation, and that's going to give more reason for people to join gangs as an alternative to, a miserable economic situation.
We're speaking to Alfonso Gonzalez, a PhD student in political science at UCLA. He's also a member of the Human Rights Committee for Homies Unidos to stop La Mano Dura. It's called, the campaign's called Libertad con Dignidad. Well, Alfonso, you know, it's interesting that you were talking about the McCain-Kennedy bill you were talking about earlier. You know, that's the liberal, in many ways, that's the liberal answer to terrorism, right? I mean, while Bush likes to bomb, you know, countries, liberals are saying, well, actually, Bush is not really concentrating on the real problem, which is closing down the borders, or he's not, you know, hampering immigrants enough, and not really talking about concrete ways on how we can actually repress more people. But I do want to go back into this question around what ultimately happens to youth, because it's funny, because you just talked about the gang, you know, like a youth in El Salvador or in Honduras can be considered a gang member just by wearing a tattoo. And earlier in the show, we were talking to Kim McGill, and she was talking about how kids get into the gang database here in Los Angeles, where basically you don't even know that you're in the gang database. You're just answered, you're asked what clique you're part of, if your parents ever been a clique, do you have a nickname, and then you don't even know that you're actually in the gang database until you do some, you know, either you do some minor crime or a big crime, and that's when you find out that you're a member of a gang. Is there any equivalent to that in different Central American countries, like a gang database where you are already suspected of being a gangbanger outside of just, you know, obviously your look?
Unfortunately, yes. You know, one of the dangers of this National Gang Intelligence Center is that it shares all of its gang intelligence with the law enforcement agencies and militaries. That's key, the militaries of Central America, right? So, you know, when they do this, if you're on the gang file in the United States, you get deported. They know you're on the gang file over there. And it's not even a question of them, you know, having to have access to this database, which is dangerous in itself. But, you know, when someone's deported to the United States, they get off the plane in El Salvador or Honduras or Guatemala, and as soon as they get off the plane, the military and the police wait for them. Right. So when you're getting off the plane, the first thing they make you do is take off your shirt if you're a young man. And if you're coming from Los Angeles, Houston, San Francisco, New York, Chicago, and you're coming off this plane, you know, like, okay, they have the database on you already, but they make you take your shirt. So even if you, let's say you're not in the database here, and you take your shirt off and you have the gang tattoo, well, you're automatically in the gang, you're automatically locked up, and you're out of luck. You know, you're going to be repressed. You know, and the other, you know, key development in this is the media. You know, I was talking to one brother who got deported, and he said that, you know, he was a gang member here in the United States, but didn't do any major crimes. He got deported. He was a legal citizen. He wasn't a citizen. He was on the road to becoming a citizen, and he did a crime. He got deported. When he was deported for something very minor, as soon as he got off the plane, all of the Salvadoran media was there with the police when the police asked him to take his shirt off, right? And the Salvadoran media saying, you know, is it true you're a mass murderer? Is it true that you killed so many people in the United States, that you're a carjacker, that you were a member of the Mala Salvatrucha? And this guy's saying, you know what, I've never done any of those things. I never carjacked no one or killed no one. But, you know, he got busted for a minor drug offense. He gets off the plane. And in, you know, the media in Central America, who's very, you know, linked to the government. In fact, Antonio Saca's family is one of the biggest owners, the president of Salvador, that is, one of the biggest owners of the media in El Salvador. You know, the media jumps on these poor guys and makes them seem like they are the main reason for the miserable social conditions in the country. And when in reality, the United Nations came out with a report last week, saying that only 8% of the homicides in El Salvador are related to gang violence.
Mm. Well, let's bring it back a little bit to L.A., and I know that, you know, you're involved with Homies Unidos, or you do work with Homies Unidos along with other organizations throughout the city. I know one thing that they're talking about right now is that LAPD is trying to make an amendment on Special Order 40 by basically picking up people who they suspect that they have already deported in the past. Obviously, who's going to be usually targeted is going to be people from MSA or other, you know, Latino, Mexicano youth. I know we only got about another minute. Can you talk to about any work that you know Homies Unidos or other groups are doing against that?
Yes, Homies Unidos has worked against the repeal of Special Law 40. And also, it's not the Special Law 40, but there's a proposal for the LA County Sheriff's. Actually, it got approved. Actually, it has got approved. Mm-hmm. It's a pilot program for the LA County Sheriff's to have basically deportation powers, work with DHS. So Homies and Needles is working against that, and you can visit the Homies and Needles website at homiesandneedles.org. And if you want more information on the actual campaign against the mano dura, check out www.libertadcondignidad.org. That's libertadcondignidad.org. Or you can call Homies and Needles at 213-383-7484. In addition to Homies and Needles, there's a lot of good work happening on the Oxnard area against the gang injunctions and against the militarization of the police and criminalization against youth. And that's being done by the Chicano Mexicano Prison Project. And you can contact them at 805-487-8170. Once again, that's 805-487-8170. On June 25th, they're going to have a conference called Justice and Liberation, Not Incarceration. It's a conference on colonialism and prisons, and that's going to be Saturday, June 25th at the Rudy Acuña Cultural Center Cafe on A Street. That's 438 South A Street, Oxnard, California.
Thanks a lot, Alfonso Gonzalez, and hopefully we'll have you back on the show.
All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for joining us this week. We'd like to thank our guests, Ken McGill, Jason Zeidenberg, and Alfonso Gonzalez. Today we have music from Alfie B. Fly, The Coup, Native Guns, and Sister Asia. The intro and out songs you guys should check out. It's on the No More Prisons album. We'd like to thank our producer, Alan Minsky, and our engineer, Maggie Lepeek. We'll see you in 2 weeks after the KPFK Fund Drive. So everybody should break out your wallets, your paychecks for that. Up next is Beneath the Surface with Susie Weissman.
This is fire. I see my family.